So Hosea chapter 1. The reading should appear on the screen behind me. The word of the Lord came to Hosea, son of Beeri, during the reigns of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, and during the reign of Jeroboam, son of Joash, king of Israel. When the Lord began to speak through Hosea, the Lord said to him, "Go, marry a promiscuous woman and have children with her. For like an adulterous wife, this land is guilty of unfaithfulness to the Lord." So he married Gomer, daughter of Diblaim, and she conceived and bore him a son. Then the Lord said to Hosea, "Call him Jezreel, because I will soon punish the house of Jehu for the massacre at Jezreel, and I will put an end to the kingdom of Israel. In that day I will break Israel's bow in the valley of Jezreel." Gomer conceived again and gave birth to a daughter. Then the Lord said to Hosea, "Call her Lo-Ruhamah, which means not loved, for I will no longer show love to Israel that I should at all forgive them. Yet I will show love to Judah, and I will save them, not by bow, sword, or battle, or by horse and horseman, but I, the Lord their God, will save them." After she had weaned Lo-Ruhamah, Gomer had another son. Then the Lord said, "Call him Lo-Ami, which means not my people, for you are not my people, and I am not your God. Yet the Israelites will be like the sand on the seashore, which cannot be measured or counted. In the place where it was said to them, 'You are not my people,' they will be called children of the living God. The people of Judah and the people of Israel will come together. They will appoint one leader, and they will come up out of the land, for great will be the day of Jezreel. Say of your brothers, 'My people,' and of your sisters, 'My loved one.'" This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray together. And then let's have a think together about this book of Hosea. In Romans it says, "For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope." Father, we believe this book of Hosea is written for us, that we might have hope. And so, Father, please give us hope this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this morning, I want to introduce you to a character from the Bible named in this book as Hosea. So here's Hosea. I'm going to put a picture of Hosea up. Boys and girls, if you're with me, you can see him. I'm not sure if he actually looked like this, but this is Hosea today. So here he is. Now, Hosea is the first of the last 12 books of the Bible. He's the first of the minor prophets. Now, they're called minor because they're slightly shorter than the big boys, like Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel, who wrote massive books. But the minor prophets are just slightly shorter, and their messages are slightly shorter. Now, we don't know a lot about Hosea. Okay, we know a few things. Here's the few things we know. First of all, we know that Hosea lived at a time when there was a very wicked king ruling called Jeroboam II. It was an affluent time. Things were good. People had lots of stuff, but Jeroboam was a wicked king. We also know that he was the son of a man named Beeri. Do you know Beeri? No, neither do I. So it's okay. We don't need to worry about that. He was a son of a man named Beeri. And so we don't know lots about him. We know his dad's name. But here's the thing and the important thing that we learn about Hosea. Hosea was a prophet. Now, what is a prophet? That's an important question because we're going to be looking at 12 prophets over the next 12 weeks. Well, we're helped to understand what a prophet is by the very opening words of the book of Hosea. So grown-ups, if you've got a Bible, look there, chapter 1, verse 1. Boys and girls, if you can lean over and see a Bible, that'd be great. But this is what it says. The word of the Lord came to Hosea. The word of the Lord, God's words, the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth, the one who'd rescued his people out of Egypt, God, his words came to Hosea. And then have a look at chapter 1, verse 2, when the Lord began to speak through Hosea. A prophet is someone through whom God would speak words to the people. So as we listen to this book this week and the 12 books over the next weeks, a prophet is speaking God's words to us. We're listening to God. And in this book of Hosea, God asks Hosea to do something shocking. Can you give me a shocked face, boys and girls? If you're with us, grown-ups, you can join in as well if you want. Give me a shocked face. He asked him to do something that wasn't just shocking for Hosea. It was shocking for his family. It would have been shocking for his friends. It was shocking for the whole community who knew that Hosea was a man who spoke God's words to the people. What is it that he asked him to do? Well, have a look. Chapter 1 and verse 2. God says this to Hosea, "Go and marry a promiscuous woman and have children with her." Now, we're going to have to work quite hard because God says here, go and marry, so show love to a promiscuous woman. Now, what does that mean, boys and girls? That's a big word, isn't it? But what it means is this. God asked Hosea to go and marry someone who he knew would run off and give her love to other people instead of Hosea. I don't know if you've been to a wedding. We haven't had lots of weddings, Joe, have we, over this last year? We've had a few lockdown weddings at church, which have been exciting. There's a fruit of it over there. There's a lockdown wedding or two. But I'm going to a wedding next week. I'm speaking at a wedding. And at that wedding, a man and a woman will stand in front of each other and they will make promises to each other. They will make promises to be faithful to one another, to only give their love to each other so long as they both shall live. And here's the shocking thing. Hosea had to stand at an altar and look a woman in the eyes and say, "I'm going to be faithful to you." And this woman would stand there and she would make the same promises back. "Hosea, I'm going to love you and be faithful to you." But Hosea knew. He knew that she wouldn't be keeping those promises. He knew that she wouldn't keep that promise to be faithful to him. And so that's the shocking thing. It's the shocking thing that God asks Hosea to do. And so Hosea, we're told in the Bible, Hosea went and married a woman named Gomer. And Gomer and Hosea ended up having three children. Here they are. I'm going to put them up here. The first one was called Jezreel. The second child was called Lo-Ruhamah. And the third child was called Lo-Ami. And as time went by, sure enough, Gomer was unfaithful to Hosea. Gomer ran off and ran away from home, and she gave her love to other people. She loved them instead of Hosea. And she was bad, and not just one, but lots of different people. Hosea, she was unfaithful to Hosea. And Hosea's heart was broken because she had stopped loving him. She'd run off with other men. And Gomer's life ended up in a right mess. She ended up stranded and not loved and in great trouble. Now, Hosea could have ended it all there, couldn't he? We would have done that, wouldn't we? We would have said, "Right, Gomer, that's it, that's enough. I can't do this anymore. This is terrible. You've been unfaithful to me. You've stopped loving me. You should go away." But then God asks Hosea to do something even more shocking. Have a look with me at chapter 3 and verse 1 and 2 if you've got a Bible. Chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. Let's go there. The Lord said to Hosea, "Go." So Hosea has an unfaithful wife, but God says this, "Go, show your love to your wife again. Though she is loved by another man and is an adulteress, love her as the Lord has loved the Israelites, though they turn to other gods and love the sacred raisin cake. So I bought her for 15 shekels of silver and about a homer and a lethek of barley." Hosea is told by God to go, to find Gomer, to buy her back. And you can imagine, can't you, that Hosea was like, but God. And God says, no, go. Go and love her. Go and find her. Go and buy her back. And that's exactly what Hosea does. He goes probably to the marketplace. This is how shocking it would have been. And he buys her for 15 shekels. That's not even the price that someone puts on a person in the Bible. That's less than the price that someone puts on someone. And he goes to the marketplace and he buys back his wife. And he brings her home. He pays her debts and he loves her. He looks after her. Now, here's the question, boys and girls and grown-ups, that we've got to work at this morning. Why does God ask Hosea to do such a shocking thing? Well, here's the reason. Because in this story of Gomer and their marriage, we have a picture of God and his relationship with Israel, his people. And this book of Hosea, and this marriage that had fallen apart and was broken, contains some important lessons for those of us today who read the book of Hosea. And here's lesson number one, and hopefully it'll appear on the screen behind me. Lesson number one for us this morning is this: sin is unfaithfulness to God. Sin is unfaithfulness to God. The Lord, God, loved Israel. He loved them so much that he picked them for himself. He saved them out of their slavery in Egypt. He brought them to Mount Sinai and he said, look, I love you. You're my people. You're my special people. And he said, well, you love me back. And all the people at Sinai said, yes, we will. And they had a covenant with each other. You might say they had a marriage with each other. But Israel, as we read the stories of the Old Testament, Israel, to whom Hosea speaks these words, were guilty of unfaithfulness to the Lord. They were guilty of giving their love to others. Grown-ups, if you've got a Bible, boys and girls, look over the shoulder. Chapter 1, verse 2, look at what he says. Go marry a promiscuous woman and have children with her, for like an adulterous wife, this land is guilty of unfaithfulness to the Lord. How were the people unfaithful to the Lord? How did they run off and give their love to others? Well, Hosea is full of descriptions of the ways that they've done that. And maybe some of you who've read the book this week will have seen some of those descriptions. But three big ways they were unfaithful to God. First of all, they stopped obeying God's words. God had given them words to live by, and they'd chosen to ignore them. The Ten Commandments, they didn't want anything to do with them. Way number two is that they consulted idols. So rather than going to God and saying, God, what would you like us to do? God, what's the right thing for us to do here? God, we're in trouble. Would you help us? Instead of going to God, they ran off to little wooden statues, and they said, will you help us? Will you give us rain and make the crops grow? What should we do? So instead of going to God, they went to idols instead. The third way is that when they were in difficult times, when it looked like war was going to happen, where do you think they went? Did they go to the Lord, the one who loved them? No. They ran off to other nations. They ran to the nation of Egypt and they ran to the nation of Assyria. And they said, will you help us? Instead of running to the Lord. And here's the thing that God wants us to understand. It's not just that they were breaking a set of rules, like a list of rules on a wall. No, they were breaking God's heart because it was personal. He loved them. Chapter 8, verse 14. Hosea says, Israel has forgotten his maker. And the worst thing of all is that they acted like everything was okay. They lived this way, but they acted like everything was all right. Monday to Saturday, it wasn't really Monday to Saturday for them, but you get the point. Monday to Saturday, they cheated on God. They ran off and gave their love to other things and to other people and to other nations. But on Sunday, they rocked up to church and they said their words and they offered their sacrifices and they said, "This is good." Now, friends, boys and girls, can't we be the same as this nation? Can't we be so often like them? With the Lord this morning, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, accuse those of us who follow the Lord Jesus, who are trusting the Lord Jesus, of the same things. Unfaithfulness. Flirting, perhaps, with money, or status, or entertainment, or comforts, or careers, as the things which will kind of fulfill us. As the things that will make us secure. As the things that will make us whole. Have we allowed perhaps the morals of our world to creep into the way that we do life and think about life? Friends, even those of us this morning that are trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of our sins, we battle with the lingering heart that leans towards unfaithfulness. Unfaithfulness lingers on in these bodies of death. Do we need to take this seriously this morning? Sin is unfaithfulness to God. Many of us, and I know because we do life together as a church family, many of us in this church family have experienced the ugliness and the painfulness of unfaithfulness. But here's the question: do we see our sins, our running off to other things, as unfaithfulness to God? Not just breaking the rules, but breaking God's heart. Because He loves us. He's committed Himself to us. And you may be sitting there thinking, well, I'm not a Christian. I'm not a follower of God. Well, actually, in some ways, this is true for all of us. We've all been unfaithful to God. Ever since Adam and Eve, all the way down to me, we have been unfaithful to the Lord who loved us. God made this world. He loved this world. But this world has been unfaithful to Him. So here's the lesson number one from the book. Sin is unfaithfulness to the Lord, which leads to the second lesson, which will appear on the screen. Unfaithfulness deserves divorce. Unfaithfulness deserves divorce. Now, we probably need an action for this one. I forgot the action for the first one to help some of the younger ones here. But we're going to point away. We're going to send someone away. Can you do this with me? So unfaithfulness deserves divorce. Go away. Hosea and Gomer, they had three children. And the names of these three children were meant to be a warning to the people that Hosea lived amongst about where being unfaithful to God ends up. And so here's the names. Ready? Number one. The first baby is called Jezreel. Can you say that with me? Jezreel. Now, Jezreel is not a nice name for a child because it's a horrible place. It was the place of a great battle, of wickedness, of slaughter, of massacre. And Hosea's told to name his baby Jezreel as a warning to the people. So you have a look at the Bible. Have a look at verse 4. The Lord said to Hosea, "Call him Jezreel, because I will soon punish the house of Jehu for the massacre at Jezreel. I will put an end to the kingdom of Israel." Where does unfaithfulness to the Lord lead? Punishment. Being punished by the Lord. Baby number two was called Lo Ruhamah. Now that means not loved. Now that's, again, not a very nice thing to call your child, is it? But it's a warning. Where does unfaithfulness to God end up? It is not being loved by God, or as he puts it in verse 6, not forgiven. Where does unfaithfulness to the Lord end up if you pursue that path? Not forgiven by God. Third child was called Lo Ami, which means not my people. Sent away from God. Separation from God. Hosea's children were a warning It's a warning message about where being unfaithful to God ends up. And it's not pretty, is it? Disaster, not loved, not forgiven, being sent away from God, not being his people. It's like a divorce, isn't it? It's like a separation. And that's why we point this way. Unfaithfulness deserves divorce. Go away. And that is exactly what happened to the people that Hosea was speaking to. In the time that Hosea lived, as you read through chapters 4 to 14, and maybe some of you have had the chance to do that this week, what we discover is that disaster was looming for these people. The great nation of Assyria, who they'd run off to and said, "Help me!" This great big nation invaded the land in 722 BC. And they destroyed lots of people and they carried lots of people away into exile. And Hosea is full of poetry about what God is doing. It says that God threw his net over them. It says that like an eagle was over the house. It says that God drove them out. And as we come to the New Testament and we listen to the Lord Jesus, who is the Lord himself that speaks these words, we discover that Jesus warns that ultimately, that is what waits for all who pursue a path of unfaithfulness to the Lord. A day of the Lord is coming. A day of judgment. A day where God will drive out those who have not been faithful to him. So sin is unfaithfulness to the Lord. And unfaithfulness deserves divorce. And the question that leaves us with is, wow, what hope is there for people like me? What hope is there for people like us who are unfaithful to God, who give our love to all sorts of other things rather than to God? And here's the third message. Thankfully, it's not all doom and gloom. Here's the third message from the book of Hosea. And the only hope we have is the love of the Lord. The only hope we have is the love of the Lord. Hosea is a mini picture of the amazing love that the Lord has for his people. Boys and girls, do you remember that God told Hosea when Gomer had run off, he told her to go and find her, to allure her, that means call her back, to pay her debts, to buy her back. And that is a picture of what God is like. That is a picture of the kind of love that God, the Lord, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit has for his people. A love that keeps on loving even when we've stopped loving him. A love that keeps on loving even though we're quite unlovable. Now think about this, okay? Boys and girls, I want you to think about this because this is something really big we've got to get about God. We do love differently to the way God does love. We do love in what you might call in a transaction, okay? So when you go to a shop, you make a transaction, okay? You give them some money and they give you something back. And we do love in that kind of way. You love me and I'll love you. You don't love me and I won't love you. That's a transaction. But God does not love in that kind of way. God's love is different. It's unfailing love. It is faithful love. And Hosea, as he warns the people about where unfaithfulness leads, he also has a message of hope in this book. A message of hope for unfaithful people, that God would call people back to him, that God would buy them back again, he would pay their debts, and he would love them again as his people. If you've got a Bible, go to chapter 2 and verse 23. Boys and girls, look over a shoulder if you can see that there. This is a picture again, lots of poetry in Hosea. And he says, I will plant her, speaking about the people. I will take her and plant her for myself in the land. I will show my love to the one I called not my loved one. I will say to those called not my people, you are my people. And they will say, you are my God. Doesn't that sound wonderful? Doesn't that sound like a fresh start? Doesn't that sound like a marriage again? Reignited, reflamed into life. God's love to them wouldn't just call them back, But the hope that Hosea gives is that God's love would even begin to change their hearts. Isn't that good? Look at chapter 2, verse 16 and 17. In the day, declares the Lord, you will call me my husband. You will no longer call me my master. Now look at what he does. I will remove the names of the Baals, that's the idols, from her lips. No longer will their names be invoked. What a promise. It's not just that he'll have us back, but he'll even start to change us so that we don't run after other things. If you've got a Bible, run all the way to the end. Chapter 14, let's keep going. It's lots to look at this morning. Chapter 14 and verse 4. Not so easy to jump around on a device, is it, as a paper Bible? But we'll go there. Chapter 14, verse 4. What does God say? I will heal their waywardness and love them freely. He would do something inside them. His love wouldn't just have them back. His love would transform them and change them. Isn't that a great message of hope? And so how? Here's the question. God promises these things through Hosea, but how? How does God buy us back? How does God show us that kind of love? Well, hopefully many of you will have joined the dots. But God shows us that kind of love as he sends Jesus into this world to die on a cross for us. At the cross, Peter tells us that it's not with silver or gold that you were redeemed from your empty way of life handed down to you by your forefathers, but we were redeemed with the precious blood of Jesus. We are bought back. He has paid our debts. He's wooed us back. He's called us back. And he said, you will be mine and I will be yours. What hope is there for people like me who are unfaithful? It is the unfailing love of God to us, demonstrated, shown, poured out in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this promise wasn't just for Israel, wasn't just for this nation. The book of Romans, which we've just spent our time looking at, tells us that this promise is for all nations. God would have all unfaithful people back. He would woo us all back through the Lord Jesus. He would pay our debts. He would buy us at a cost. And he would make us his, that we might be restored to him. Those of us that are Christians this morning, trusting the Lord Jesus, as we battle with unfaithfulness, as we wrestle day in, day out with trying to love the Lord and not chase after other things, the love of the Lord, his unfailing love to us, as shown at the cross, is our only hope and remains our only hope. The love that nothing can separate us from. Our assurance this morning is the unfailing love of the Lord. And I want to ask you this morning, do you know that love? Do you know the amazing love of the Lord? So here are three messages from the book of Hosea for us, and then we'll just wrap it up in a moment. Three lessons for us. Number one, sin is unfaithfulness to the Lord. Now, the action I did have for this is walking away. So maybe, boys and girls, you can do that. Sin is unfaithfulness. We walk away. Unfaithfulness to the Lord. And where does that lead? Well, unfaithfulness deserves divorce. But actually, our only hope is the love of the Lord. Can you give me a heart? Our only hope is the love of the Lord. Now, where does that leave us this morning as we listen into the book of Hosea? Two things as we finish up. Number one, Hosea's plea to the people he speaks to, and Hosea's plea to us is this: return to the Lord. Return to the Lord. This morning, if you in any sense feel your unfaithfulness, if you know you're trusting in the Lord Jesus for your forgiveness, but you're drifting off somewhere and chasing after other things, looking for your security and your help and your identity in other things, then return to the Lord. Return to him. Come with words, Hosea says. Forgive me. And the unfailing love of the Lord assures us that we will be forgiven. Return to the Lord. And for some of us this morning, maybe the message of Hosea is not return to the Lord, but turn to him. Turn to him, because this is a promise that is open not just to Israel, but it's open to all nations. Through the Lord Jesus Christ, those who are not his people can be made his people. No one wants to end up in that place, do we, of divorce, a permanent divorce from the Lord, disaster, cut off from him. But if we turn to him, we will be his forever. So listen to Hosea's plea, return to the Lord. Number two, come with me to the very end of the book if you've got a Bible. Look at chapter 14 and verse 9. These are possibly not Hosea's words, but perhaps the words of somebody who put all Hosea's writings together. But here they are. They're an important set of words as we finish up this morning. It says this: who is wise? Let them realize these things. Realize the things we've been looking at this morning. Who is discerning? Let them understand. The ways of the Lord are right. The righteous walk in them, but the rebellious stumble in them. Who is wise? Will you be wise this morning? Will you listen to Hosea's message? Sin is unfaithfulness to the Lord. Unfaithfulness deserves divorce. Our only hope is the love of the Lord, the love he's shown to us by sending Jesus into this world. Friends, let me lead us in a prayer, and then we're going to sing a song, and Tim's going to come and lead us in the rest of our service. Father, this morning we want to start where we should start, which is to say sorry. Sorry for our unfaithfulness. Sorry for every time that we have broken your heart by betraying your love for us and running off after other things for security, for identity, for happiness, for fulfillment. Father, please expose to us where we're doing that we might return to you. Father, thank you that through the unfailing love that you have for your people, our debts are paid. You've changed our hearts. You've restored us to yourself through the Lord Jesus, and you love us with an undying love. Father, we praise you for Jesus this morning. And please would you help us to be faithful to you, to be assured today that even in our struggle with unfaithfulness that we have in our hearts, we've been loved and are loved with a love that we cannot be separated from. Father, we praise you for the gospel. We praise you for this book of Hosea. Father, please bless to us our journey through the minor prophets in these coming weeks. In Jesus' name, amen.